are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
How's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast.
And this week, I have somebody special on the line with me. I have Omar Spahi. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. So, man, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that you've done quite a bit in the industry as well as comic books, and you are also a producer, you're a writer, you are a jack of all trades. Tell us a little bit about what you've done in the past and what you're working on now, if you can. If you, I know there's some stuff that's a little hush hush right now, but go ahead and let us know.
There always is.
Right.
No, I mean, we're really excited because we have Getting It Together coming out from Image Comics. It's out October 7th, and it's done by me, Cena Grace, who's done Iceman for Marvel, Jenny Define, who's a new artist, and Mick Struble, who's just an awesome colorist. He's done Little Depressed Boy, and I've been a fan of his for like 10 years.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to read the book, and it's actually a really good book. It's something completely different that I've never would have thought that I've seen like out of, I don't know if I want to say from Image, but it's something different from what I've read lately. And because I find that indie comics are kind of changing, man. And then books don't have to be always about, superheroes and crazy things happening like that. It could be about everyday life. And that's basically what this book is kind of about, right?
Yeah. You know, we wanted to take the idea and concept of like the world as it is. And I feel like kids right now with their sexuality and everything that's going on with them, the world is changing and evolving around us.
Yeah.
And I think we wanted to incorporate that into what we see for the future.
Yeah, definitely. If you could, man, give us a quick little log line of the book here for everybody out there that doesn't know what we're talking about.
Well, relationships are really tough. And so what happens if your best friend is actually now, and it was now you were dating. Let me give you that a little bit better. Relationships are tough. And what happens if your best friend's actually your ex's brother? Do you have to break up with them too? So it's like that whole, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but with like Facebook friends, sometimes, you know, you'll be in friends with two people and then all of a sudden they'll break up and it's like, are you still allowed to talk to that other person? Where do you draw the line? I've had friends blow up at me for just saying like, hey, just checking in and see how you're doing. And I've had, you know, the other thing where people are like, oh, it's totally fine. I don't care. You can talk to them. So it's kind of a weird situation. And we wanted to explore that concept and so much more weird, fun stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, it definitely is that. And I've had those things before where you've or even sometimes when you got a friend who you're like, he's like dating a chick or vice versa. And then they are like, they don't hang out anymore. You're like, man, what the heck's going on? Where you at? Where you been at? So that's a completely different story there, but it's life, man. Everybody can kind of relate to something like this. And a book like this is kind of cool because you can read a book and you'll be like, hey, I've had this happen to me or you know, somebody that has kind of gone through this in the past. And you're like, okay, this is relatable. It's really great. And I'm super excited, but I need to know, dude, where did you see when you were writing this book, when you guys were working on this one, did you guys see that you thought it was going to land at Image, or was there somewhere else that you thought it was going to be, or were you going to try to push it out all on your own?
No, I mean, we're really grateful Image took a chance on us, and I'm a huge fan of Image. I've been, I've had two other books that have gone through there where I've produced them. I haven't written them, but Sons of the Devil and Hadrian's Wall. Sons of the Devil is the story of this cult leader who essentially had 10 kids and he has a cult of 99 people and he's talking to the devil and the devil's telling him he's got to kill 99 people and he'll become all powerful. So he decides to kill 10 of his children and 99 people. So it's kind of like that cult classic of what would happen if your dad was actually a serial killer, or not really a serial killer, a cult leader.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was when you first talked, I was gonna be like a lot like me. I got too many kids, but then you went real south with that other. I was like, nope, I don't want to relate that to my life. That's not me, man. But you haven't worked just on comic books, right? You work in film and TV shows and things of that nature, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do it all, and I'm trying to succeed. So I'm very proud of what I've been able to accomplish. But I mean, it's really been the teams behind it that have been doing an awesome job. Everyone else just makes me look good. So that I'm grateful for.
That's funny. And when I was talking to you a little bit, and I was researching the work that you've done, I noticed and I came across something, and it happens to be something that my 10-year-old son loves. And I know you're talking, you know what I'm talking about. Talk about Ben 10, right? You've worked on Ben 10 a little bit. And that kind of excited him because I was like, hey, son, guess who I'm talking to today? And he's like, what? And he's been walking around with his Omnitrix on his arm for the past week because we brought it up and we've been watching Ben 10 since we kind of talked about it. So it was kind of funny, man. So that was really cool. And he was like, he was really interested in the actual shows that the episodes that you wrote. So we watched them and he was like, dude, that was so funny. He liked it a lot. So that was kind of cool, man.
That's awesome, man. That means a lot. Thank you for checking them out. I mean, yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure for me to work on that stuff. Like, you know, it's like you say, you know, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And in animation, I feel like I've never had a job. I just always, I'll do it for free because it's so much fun.
So how does that feel, man, to kind of, were you a big Ben 10 fan or I know you're a fan of like film and cartoons and things like that, but was this project something that you wanted to do or just you kind of fell into it?
So I was never a Ben 10 fan growing up. I just missed it. I was big into like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Power Rangers, X-Men, Spider-Man. I was into all that stuff as a kid. And then I think just as I aged out of like getting into girls and all that stuff, Ben 10 showed up and it would have been exactly up my alley. So I am a huge Ben 10 fan, but I became after the fact. So I went back and revisited as an adult and I got back into like the original stuff and the new stuff. And I love it all.
I kind of did the same thing too, because my son, he's like talking about Ben 10 and all this stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I watched it with him and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. This is kind of fun kind of thing. This would be something that I would like, you know, back then in like the 90s when I was watching cartoons and stuff like that. So I was really excited to watch it with him. And the episode that we watched that you wrote, it was a really reminiscent to a lot of the stuff that we used to watch. It very much reminded me of like Looney Tunes style type stuff, like the slapstick type of characters and things like that. Is that what you were you had in mind when you were writing that episode?
Absolutely, man. So what I did when I was writing that episode, you know, we had done it in a writing room and it was a lot of fun. And then I went home and I just did my own research. So what I did was I just watched old Looney Tunes cartoons I grew up with. So you hit the nail exactly on the head. And that's what I was going for. I really wanted to take my childhood and do something fun and exciting with it. And so that's what I did. I tried to take the stuff that we grew up with Looney Tunes and bring it to a new, fresh light and take those old classics. You know, I remember watching, what was it? The episode where Bugs Bunny's a barber and he's massaging Elmer Fudd's head and he's having flowers grow out of the head and like all this fun stuff that's just silly. Yeah. And to me, it was a lot of inspiration in that for Zingo was his name-o. So that was the episode I had done with that inspiration in mind, with Looney Tunes specifically. And I'm grateful that they took what I did and made it better.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. And really reminded me a lot of, you know, Looney Tunes mixed with a little bit of Ren and Stimpy type stuff. it was really fun, man. It was really cool. So, man, I know that you've done a lot of stuff with that. So what other film projects have you done in the past?
So I've done a lot of short films. You know, I've invested in short films. I've had friends of mine come to me and said, hey, listen, we want to do this. I've done animated shorts as well. Mm-hmm. And it's always just kind of been a passion of mine to work in television and film. And so I've just been working with other talented people and from there, things have come of it. You know, it's, I got involved with Jeff Chan and Rob ML and was grateful enough that they let me be a part of a Code 8, a very small part, but, they were really, really awesome. And the movie, you know, going from someone who's just a huge fan of superhero stuff to having one of the number one movies around the world was, just crazy. It was a crazy experience.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. Well, I'm one of those guys that loves kind of those cheesy type movies and stuff like that. Not saying that that's super cheesy, but like the movies that not a lot of people like. And when I saw that this one was coming out, I kind of read the premise to my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, no, I'm good. He's not into that superhero type stuff. She hates comics." So when I read it to her, she was like, "It's not up my alley." But I read it, the synopsis for it, and I was like, "This is definitely something up my alley, and I'm down for this." And I was definitely one of those people who watched it like the first week that it was out, man. And I absolutely loved it. I loved watching Stephen Amell in a like a antagonist or a villain type character, which we're not used to seeing him in anything like that. We're used to seeing him in the you know, the hero role, right? So that was really cool to see that, and it was a really good movie, man. And you said that we got something in the pipelines coming down really soon with that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now I think they announced that it's going out through Quibi, so. It's that's the plan with the series. So we'll see if it actually, with the pandemic and everything, stuff is shifting around left and right. So
yeah, it's been kind of difficult to get movies and the our content that we love, man, out there. But you like I said, you're a jack of all trades, man. You write comics, you write TV, film, you are a producer. And you're also a realtor, right?
Yeah, I do it all. I mean, I love helping people with their homes, and you know, I'm a realtor to celebrities, stars, you know, everybody. It doesn't matter. I help out friends whenever they need help, and it's just been a pleasure to help people out. There's nothing more personal than helping someone out who's buying a home. It's the most important purchase they're going to make, so you really want to go out of your way to try to do your best to protect them and make sure they're happy.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. We're going to take a quick little break here, and when we come back, I want to know a little bit more about your process, your writing process, and kind of how you approach these different projects, because you got an array of different kinds of things, and not one thing kind of fits for one or for the other. So I want to know a little bit more about that. When we come back from break, we'll talk about that. All right, and we're back. And before the break, I asked you a little bit of a question. I wanted to know about your process between the different variations of the different projects that you do. You do comics, you do film, you do TV, and you just do some awesome stuff in life. So, how do you approach each one of those, and is it different?
No, not really. You know, yes and no. There's aspects of things that are different, but I'll break it down to you like this. I always start with a theme in mind. So the theme is the emotional cord that goes through the story. And that's really what I want to tell. I want it to be a powerful theme. That's not characters moving pieces on a chessboard just for the sake of moving them. They're moving with purpose. And you know, you talk about, Jerry Conway. He's, you know, one of the quintessential Spider-Man writers. And he always says, who's your main character? What do they want? And who's your, and who's trying to stop them, you know? And so that's creating the antagonist, the hero, and really the through line of the story. And then you take that and you incorporate that with the theme. So you make sure that that's all going together. And then you do that the same way with the villain. Okay. Who are they? What are they trying to do to accomplish? And who's trying to stop them? And so you talk to it from both sides, and that way you really get a conducive story as to what's what. For me, I like to know where the story is ending. So I write the beginning and the ending first.
You know, I speak to a lot of creators, and sometimes that's the way to do it, man. You get the beginning, you get the end, and then you kind of just fill in the gaps with that, and kind of get the story in the in its entirety right there. And you don't know how many times I've spoken to, because back in the day I used to do creative writing like high school. I'm nowhere near like thinking, hey, I'm gonna go and write a book or anything like that. I'm just like, I'm so like hard on myself. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. I got some stories in my head, but I definitely need some help from some people to like help me write like a script and stuff like that. 'Cause scripts freaking stress me out, dude. Like, not even playing.
No, man, it's funny. You know, I never thought I'd be in this profession, and then here I am doing it, and I absolutely love it, man. Like, there's you ask 20 different people to write 20 different things or write the same thing, and you'll get 20 different stories. It's crazy. Yeah. No one is going to have the same story. You can give them the same exact prompt with the same exact characters and everything, and you're going to get 20 different stories every time. Because there's not a universal way to do this. So like, you know, if you have a story in your head, just write it. It's the, I do my show, the Dreamers Comics Podcast, literally for that, to help people find their voice and find their stomachs and tell their stories. Because to me, like, if you have a story, then you want to tell it, just go out there and tell it. Just make sure that it's, you work on it. You know, I don't believe that anything is a innate skill, or is like, no one just comes in as just like flawless at what they do. And when it comes to writing, I think everything is a practice skill. You get better and better through practice, no matter what it is in life. If it's art, if it's storytelling, if anything, you get better through doing it.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast. Cause I actually caught, I didn't finish a whole episode, and I saw that it was like, you guys were on YouTube. I did not get to around to like looking for it on like a podcatcher or anything like that, but I watched a good portion of one, and it was actually really good and insightful. So tell everybody a little bit about that and how you guys go about each episode and things of that nature.
Yeah. You know, as a creator, it's you want to help other people out and other creators out. And so, my friend had a book coming out. One of my biggest mentors is Steve Siegel, and he's like, hey, I have this book coming out, and I'd love to come on your show and talk about it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm doing a show. So the idea was just to hang out with my friend and do a show. And from there, we talked about his process, his book. And he had brought another creator with him, Joe Kelly, who's his partner. Joe Kelly did the quintessential run on Deadpool in My Eyes. He's done I Kill Giants, which is, you know, a fantastic film and comic book. Both are just, you know, it's they huge. Tug at my heartstrings every time. And so those were the first two episodes I recorded. And then after that, I was just kind of off to the races, and I just started, you know, hitting up my friends and asking them to come on the show. And it's grown from there. It's kind of blown up, and I'm really grateful for everyone that's been able to come over and listen and share their stories.
That's really super cool, dude. And do you guys release it on just video, or is it audio as well?
No, you know, our biggest shows are on audio. That's really where we do the majority. We just have a lot of people who come and just listen. They, you know, do it on their commute to work or once a week. They just kind of want to understand what's happening in the business world of comics. And that's where we get a lot of people who are interested.
Yeah. I've obviously, we do the same thing here at the House of Indie, and it is, it's pretty awesome when you talk to creators and the different projects that they do, and people want to know a little bit what's going on, man, and how you go about doing different things. And everybody does something different. Like you're saying, you can talk to 20 different people about one thing and get a different story every time. And that's exactly the way it is, man. So, okay. I need to know your process though. When you're like in the mode, you're like, I gotta write these pages. I gotta put some pen to the paper. What is your process? Do you do something every time that you have to do, or does it differ? What do you do?
I mean, so it depends what I'm writing, but if I'm doing a comic book, usually what I do is I'm the only person I know who does this. Actually, I think I know one other person. I feel like it was James Asmus. I could be wrong, but there's one other person who does this. They use Microsoft Excel.
Okay.
And I do page one, and I write page one, and then I write what happens on page one. Then I go to page 18 or page 22 or whatever, how many pages are in that issue. Uh-huh. And I write out what happens in the last page. And then I usually have moments. So like, I think of things in terms of This happens in the beginning of the story. So on page 10 or towards the middle, this is going to happen. But in the middle before that, like, he has this conflict at his job. So let's put this in page 5. And then I fill in the other stuff as it goes. So if there's a two-page fight sequence, let's put it here after this conflict and after this. And this can lead to that. And so that's the way I really break down specific things that happen on each page. From there, I take that and I go right page 1, panel 1, and I just start going on a Word document or in Final Cut or Final Draft and go from there.
That's awesome. Do you find when you do that, that you kind of push things back? You're like, I want it on page 10, but closer to the final draft that it ended up on like page 15. Does that happen a lot?
It happens a lot where things get moved around, and it's a lot about pacing and just kind of understanding, like, I thought this was going to fit here. It went on too long or it's too short. So we've got to move this up and then add this or take this away. And so just a lot of in the process writing, you're just making self edits. You got to go back and just check your work, make sure, you know, you're happy with the draft and get a rewrite. You know? So if there's something that doesn't work, go back and say, hey, listen, that didn't work and fix it.
Awesome, man. So I don't want to keep you too long. We need to get you out there because you're a busy guy. But I want to ask one thing here really quick. If there was one thing that you can give advice to somebody who is looking to jump in and kind of do this thing, what would you give them? What kind of advice would you say to them?
Network. Number one thing to me, it's my mentor really has 5 things that you should do. It's number one is, do I know you? Are you going to work for somebody or get ahead without people knowing who you are? Mm-hmm. And so everyone will say, just go do it. That, you know, doing the work is important, but it's not as important as someone knowing you're doing the work and you knowing the right people. So it's like, if you're going and you're talking to your group of friends that you're doing this stuff, that's one thing. But if you go to, like, you know, the head of Warner Brothers and you're like, I'm doing this stuff, they're going to be like, oh, cool, come do it for us. And, so go and network with the right people. Find any excuse to go and find where you want to be and go and just be around those people. Networking is super important. So number one is I would say, you know, get to know people in the industry and then be likable. You know, do I know you and do I like you? No one wants to work with somebody who's rude, who's not fun to be around and who's going to be a pest. Yeah. So number two is, do I like you? The real most important thing is, can they make money off of you? And so you have to think of that in terms of a business. So if you're willing to come in and do something for like a real rate and you're like, oh, I'm not going to work for less than this, and I know that this is going to do this, and like you're going to be difficult and they're not going to make any money, they're not going to be interested in working with you. It's just the most important thing is, you know, can they make money off of you? And it's in comic books and TV and everything. It's an industry of brands. So, you know, if you brand yourself as this thing, meaning like, you know, you're going to watch a movie that Tom Cruise is in, regardless of if he's 50 or 60, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are just some small pieces of advice that I think are really important. So make sure that, you know, you're easy to work with. You're getting to know the right people. Go out of your way to force it. I mean, that's a big reason why I do my show, is so I can network with those people and follow up with them and just check in. And it's super valuable. I really love the process.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us, giving us that cool advice and talking with us a little bit about your work. Is there anywhere anybody can find you on your social media, websites, any of that good stuff? This is the time to plug any stuff coming up very soon as well.
Yeah, so I have 2 image books out on the same day, October 7th. I have a Stairway Anthology and Getting It Together, number 1, drops on October 7th. We're really proud of both of them. The art on the Stairway Anthology book is called Silence. And it's by Livio Ramondelli. He's done a bunch of stuff for IDW's Transformers. And then PJ Katakutin helped with the designs and everything. As well as I have Getting It Together, which is art by the awesome Jenny Define, colors by Mick Struble. And Cena Grace has been a fantastic co-creator and partner with me.
Awesome, man. Where can everybody find you on social media?
On social media, you can find me at Omar Spahi on Twitter, or you can check me out on Instagram at @ospahi.
Cool. And can anybody find your work, purchase any of your work on websites or anything like that?
Yeah, if you go to imagecomics.com, they'll have we'll have Getting It Together available there. So feel free to check it out. And if you're so inclined, feel free to check out Cartoon Network's Ben 10.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right, Omar, we appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me here on the House of Indie. We'll see you next time, man. We'll got to, I know you got something else coming out very soon that's kind of hush hush right now, but once that comes out, dude, we'll talk to you a little bit more. We'll get you back on.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you later.
Thanks again for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez, and I'll see you later.